You are listening to CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. We also stream online at cfuv.uvic.ca. You're listening to Full Circle. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We are going to be talking about what's happening on Burnaby Mountain today. I have three guests that are going to join me for the hour. In studio with me is Zoe Blunt. Thank you for being my guest today, Zoe. Nice to have you in studio.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for having me in.
On the line right now, we have Eric Nordahl. Are you there, Eric?
I am.
Excellent.
Hello, Liz.
Hi. All right. Well, welcome, and thank you both for being here. Eric, you are actually on the mountain, so you have warned us that if you get arrested, your phone will cut out. Is that the case?
Yeah, it could happen at any moment.
Okay. Well, I hope not. Zoe, can you give us a quick overview of sort of what's been going on the mountain? There have been protesters up there. There's now a court case that Kinder Morgan has brought. For people that are tuning in and don't really understand what's happening up there, can you give us an idea of why people are up there and why people are fighting and gathering?
Right. The issue is that Kinder Morgan, the multinational oil company, is wanting to bring tar sands oil from the tar sands to the port of Burnaby, to Burrard Inlet. And so they have an existing pipeline for part of this route, and what they're planning to do is to drill a new pipeline, lay a new pipeline right to their refinery on Burrard Inlet in North Burnaby. And we just came back from there. Now, people have known for years, you know, this has been in the works for many years. What they're doing right now is taking a core sample of the mountain. So they're drilling these deep shafts right through the mountain, these boreholes, in order to find out what the mountain is made of, to see if they can actually drill right through Burnaby Mountain. And they would be doing that from their own properties on either side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
They would be doing horizontal drilling. And I think what they're finding, though, is that, yeah, they've hit bedrock, and that bedrock is the people of the South Coast who are not going to let this pipeline go through.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conflict up there. The RCMP have moved in. I read this morning that over 50 people have been arrested.
I think it's over 70 people now. And there's been a lot of back and forth in the courts. You know, people were certainly expecting to stop this in the courts. There's a the First Nations, the Tsleil-Waututh First Nation, has a lawsuit against Kinder Morgan, against the National Energy Board, to stop this from going through. They have not been fully consulted. They have not consented. The city of Burnaby is 100% opposed to it, and the mayor and council, absolutely 100%. They have an appeal. They're trying to get a stay to stop this work from going through. But in the meantime, while these court cases are in process, the Kinder Morgan has gone ahead and they've sued the people who are protesting. And they have got a court order that allows them to send the RCMP in and arrest people just for being nearby.
Which is, and they've been told that they're in trespassing, correct? Even though it's a publicly owned park?
What they're being arrested for is contempt of court. And so this is how corporations abuse the court process. They file this lawsuit. They have no intention of actually suing these people for millions and millions of dollars, which is what it says on the paper. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. They've said that. They just want to get the court order so that those people can be arrested and thrown in jail for exercising their rights to defend their own land.
Hmm. Eric, can you talk about what the scene is on the mountain this morning?
Yeah, absolutely. So just like every morning, at 10:30 a.m., there's a crowd that's gathering at the base of the hill. This morning and through the night, and even since early months ago, there's been people up at the top of the hill as well, setting up a camp. So people have been staying on the hill 24 hours a day. The work has been happening 24 hours a day with CMP basically scattered throughout the mountain and guarding the Kinder Morgan workers that are drilling into the mountain day in, day out. So right now there's a crowd of about 150 people just at the bottom of the hill. There's about to be a march up to the top to the area where the drilling is happening, which is where the injunction zone is. That area is just kicked off, and from that point, people will be either pushing the line or crossing the line, and some will inevitably be detained and released later tonight.
I saw footage yesterday taken at the mountain that showed a very emotional scene, people who were shouting and crying. Is it that emotional yet, or do you expect that to maybe happen later in the day?
Later in the day, I mean, it's an emotional thing for a lot of people, and like I said, things are happening 24 hours a day up here. But usually when the crowd gets to the top and a lot of people are seeing it for the first time, and just, you know, seeing an injustice that's happening and the police holding everyone back from doing anything about it, and people feeling maybe disempowered or feeling empowered or whatever the emotions may be. Yeah, there's yelling, there's aggressiveness, there's feelings of sadness, I'm sure too. But yeah, there's a lot going on up here.
About how many people are gathered today, this morning?
I think there's about 150, down at the base of the hill right now with another group of people up at the top. I mean, these marches have been happening every day, basically since, Friday. Over the weekend, there was larger groups as well.
Yeah, that's right. You guys took a bus of people from Victoria this weekend, right?
Convoy. We took a convoy.
A convoy.
Yes. It was great.
Yeah. There's about 40 people.
About 40 people.
We both want to talk so much about it. No, it's great. I think it was a really important part of the day on Sunday. I mean, we brought supplies and fresh energy.
Yeah.
And, it was a really big boost to morale in the camp and everything that's going on up here. Just to kind of further that point, like, there's a lot of people seeing this for the first time. And I think a lot of people are just shocked to see, to go up here, and maybe people that aren't used to it, they see this happening and they want to call the cops, but then they're like, oh, wait, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. And,
no.
And, I think the people coming over from the island was pretty great day.
Because, we're directly affected by this potential pipeline and tanker traffic. They're planning to bring the biggest super tankers ever built into Burrard Inlet to fuel up and then squeeze under the Second Narrows Bridge and then come right by Victoria. And in the event, in the very likely event that there's eventually a spill or a rupture or that oil tank runs aground, it would be us as well as other people on the South Coast who would be wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people have been really restrained up on the mountain. There are enough people there to shut down those drilling machines. There are not enough police to hold those people back. And it's only because people are allowing themselves to be held back, that this is why it's proceeding, no judgment on the people on the mountain right now, but if they chose to shut those drilling machines down peacefully, they could do it. They could do it.
You mean by just using their bodies to block what they were doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw a little bit of that last week, didn't we? I saw a woman using a bike lock to chain herself to a piece of equipment.
Yeah. So that's a little harder form of civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
So what's actually going on is they have a big drilling machine right on Centennial Way, right next to SFU in the park. And so it's right on the road. But when that drilling machine is finished taking its 250-meter long core sample, the mountain, they're going to airlift it into a little clearing into the forest that's about 200 meters away as the crow flies. And they're going to be on the mountain for about 2 weeks. Maybe for another 2 weeks or so. And then when that's done, they'll be off the mountain. So people have these opportunities to interfere, and I'm not advising people to go in there and interfere with those machines or interfere with that clearing in the woods, but that would be a strategic thing to do. And if people feel that their conscience demands that they intervene because nothing else is going to stop it, the courts are not going to stop this necessarily. We can't rely on them. We've seen how the corporations abuse the courts. Appealing to the police is not going to work. Appealing to the better judgment of these corporations is not going to work because they simply are psychopaths. So I really want to encourage people to do whatever their conscience dictates to stop those machines.
This is part of a larger problem among people who are environmental activists, the idea that there's huge expansion planned all across the province as far as pipelines go. It seems like this is just one part of a much larger issue. If the people who are opposing this pipeline get a victory here, what do you think that says for other proposed pipelines in other parts of the province?
Yeah, if we can't win here, I don't know. It doesn't bode well for some of these other projects because, like I said, we have everybody on our side here. We have the council, we have the First Nations, even the band councils are all inside. I think that, it's so rare that we actually have a clear-cut victory, and corporations don't even admit when they're beat, right? They just go away and lick their wounds and then try and come back in a few years. I think what the difference here is that Kinder Morgan it's the oil companies that are calling the shots. And our strategy is no different, I think, than otherwise, than it would have been before. If it is not profitable for these companies to do this kind of drilling, to do this kind of resource extraction, they won't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think what they're finding, you know, is like, yeah, that Burnaby is socially inoperable. And that's a word that corporations use when they find that the people won't let them work. Mm-hmm. They call it socially inoperable, and that raises the cost. It raises the extraction cost. It cuts into their profits. If they're not going to make profit, they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, they have the RCMP being private security for them. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to factor that in. They're going to have to factor in that, you know, I don't know how those negotiations are going to work. How mm-hmm. much money do they pay in taxes? I heard $1.5 million. You know, that's not even enough to buy a house in North Van, you know?
Yeah, that is true. yeah. Eric, how are things there now? Are you guys getting ready to march up the mountain, or do you know when that's going to start?
Yep, just a few more speeches here, and I think the march will be happening up fairly soon.
Right. How many?
Sorry, I was just going to add to the last comment on saying what, like, the outcome of what happens on Burnaby Mountain and how that will affect the other blockades and other camps. Just like to say that those other camps and other communities that are blockading and doing things, may be set up in different ways, maybe set up better or more strategically, or better or worse. But it's going to be a different situation in every community. And like, I'd just like to say what Zoe was saying earlier, should the people here in Burnaby or on the mainland decide, to shut these machines down, it wouldn't take much. So it's just a question of what people and what communities, how far they're willing to go to ensure these things don't go forward. And I think this is just the beginning of a long, you know, this is the first battle in a lot of ways in a long war against, these pipeline expansions happening to the coast. And that, you know, we're learning a lot, and I think the police are trying to learn, what the reactions are going to be like from people. And so far, like Zoe said as well, like, people have been very respectful, and people have gone up and been as peaceful as possible. And right now they're only drilling. But should these projects move forward in any more ways, I would only imagine that people will start to react in bigger ways as well.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you're talking about, like, this idea that people are very respectful and showing restraint when it comes to their interactions with the RCMP up there or the police up there. I read something in the Vancouver Sun that the RCMP were actually helping the First Nations up there move their sacred fire.
That wasn't helping.
You disagree?
Actually. No, they did. The First Nations people didn't want to move their fire.
Right.
They said, we're going to, you know, either let us move it or we're just going to bulldoze it.
Hmm.
That was not helping. You know, this is greenwashing. This is whitewashing what was actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
The police are not actually there to help the First Nations.
Mm. How long has the fire been burning up there? This is something that came up in conversation yesterday, that, you know, there's this idea that all of a sudden there are a lot of people that are going up there every day to maybe get arrested, to engage in this civil disobedience, but there hasn't been a lot of focus on the First Nations that have been up there for, I understand, quite a lot longer.
I think the fire has been going for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the fire signifies their right to defend the land. Is that right?
I can't speak for them, so okay. I can't say exactly what it signifies, but it certainly is, it's a powerful symbol. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That they're saying First Nations are here. This is First Nations land. This is unceded territory. It is, as we know, the Tsleil-Waututh have a lawsuit, and all the First Nations, the Tsleil-Waututh, the Musqueam, the Tawasin, the Squamish, they are all 100% opposed to this pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Are they represented? I know Pull Together was this website and this sort of fund.
That's Enbridge.
That's specifically for Enbridge. Yeah. It doesn't have to do with the other pipelines at all?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
Hmm.
I think that involves the Kinder Morgan expansion.
Oh, good.
I believe. But yeah, I mean, that's, there's many different tactics to be had, and they're all very important. Something like Pull Together is raising money for legal challenges in court, which of course is important. Things like a camp or a blockade uses a very different strategy, but all necessary. For if one fails, then hopefully the other one can get us a victory, right?
I'm interested to know what kind of, or who is up there with you today and has been up there engaging in these protests. Is it, are you seeing mostly hardcore activists? Are you seeing people from all different groups who might be students or who might be, I don't know, other just like community members?
Well, I think from this past week, there's been an 11-year-old and a 72-year-old arrested, or I think those are the ages. I mean, there's a wide range. You know, I see people with their families here right now, like looking at the crowd. I see some students. I think the Unitarian Church is doing a presentation at the moment. There's a couple of environmental groups, but it's just a wide range, just like you'd see at a lot of, different things that are important to any community. You know, and of course there's people that are camped out as well, which takes a different type of commitment to these sorts of things. But yeah, I mean, a wide range of people. I know there's a couple of families that were camped out on the hill last night. So it's not a group of, well,
it's not the professional protesters.
Nobody's getting paid to be up here. No. In fact, people are taking time off work. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's some new faces on the caravan, on our convoy. And by the way, we are going to be putting together another convoy, I think, on Friday. Mm-hmm. And if people want to support this work, you know, to support the donations and the goods that we're bringing and the school bus itself, the action bus, they can go to wildcoast.ca and make a contribution there or send me an email from there.
Hmm. And if people want, if they want to join, they can get in on the convoy as well if they're interested in going in, and participating?
Yeah, I believe so. We're still working out the details. And that would be on Friday morning, I think.
Right. There is a couple articles I read this morning about people who are calling for either the government, the provincial government, or the official opposition, the NDP, to actually speak out or have a stance either way on what they want, on what their actual thoughts are on the pipeline, are on this pipeline. What do you think about that? Do you think that there should be, I don't know, voices from the legislature talking about this right now?
Yeah, I think they've been awfully quiet. You know, this is something that's tearing our society apart right now. You know, so many people are opposed to it. On the coast, it is, you know, 3-1, 4-1 against these pipelines. And where's our government? You know, they're just facilitating this as far as I can see. So they should be ashamed. The opposition should be ashamed for holding its tongue.
Hmm. When it comes to environmental organizations that are also part of this, is there enough support, like official support from varied organizations? Do you think? I read also this morning something that Tamo, David Suzuki's grandson, was posting on Facebook about being fired from his job as a canvasser because of his involvement with Burnaby Mountain.
Some environmental groups do that. They tell you that they make you sign a pledge that you can't take part in any civil disobedience while you're working for them. I think that's unacceptable.
Hmm. Eric?
I'll further that. I mean, this is definitely a constant problem that, especially in the environmental movement, where a lot of the organizations, for fear of maybe losing membership or donations or charitable status or whatever it may be, don't actually speak out on these issues or become involved in a lot of these grassroots campaigns. And so I will say that, you know, with Burnaby Mountain, there isn't, from what I can see anyways, that there isn't a lot of or enough official support from the organizations that have campaigners that should be out here on the ground or very, very involved. And I think that there isn't enough, you know, collaboration amongst groups. I mean, the people that are choosing to go maybe to legal funding or different things need to be working with the people that are doing the blockades as well. Because at the end of the day, what we're all trying to do is make sure a pipeline doesn't get built or expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's definitely a massive issue. And I think for all the people that work for organizations or nonprofits that aren't out here or aren't supporting, probably need to ask themselves why that is that's happening.
Yeah. You know, our groups, Social Coast, Eric's group, and Wild Coast, my group, we're not charitable. We don't have any paid staff. We don't have any offices. Mm-hmm. We exist entirely by community support. And fortunately, we have a tremendous amount of community support. And this is the case also of the people on the mountain. It is, those big greens are not there. They're not there on the mountain. People are self-organizing. And even though we knew this was coming for a long time. It still took people by surprise when they were sued, when they were named in this injunction application and so on, and when the injunction was actually handed down. I think people were pretty shocked. And so they've been organizing on the fly, and they've been doing, I think, a really admirable job for the size of the and the diversity of the crowd that they're dealing with. Mm. You know, and I think they've been doing a great job. But nobody is being paid. Nobody is benefiting from this, except knowing, they get the fulfillment of knowing that they are doing hands-on work to support First Nations, support Indigenous rights to the land and responsibilities, and that they're taking responsibility to protect our homeland, to protect our coast here. And people have that fulfillment, that that's the only reward that we're getting. You know, people are standing out there getting cold and wet and getting, watching this horrible scene going down, watching people getting arrested and even brutalized. And they're doing this for all living things, for the children, for the ecosystems. That's why they're doing it.
Hmm. Do you think that things will continue to be as confrontational or more confrontational than this point on Burnaby Mountain? Because construction of these pipelines is just going to continue, or, you know, there are no plans to halt construction. These companies will want to continue to go through. Are we going to see a sort of rejuvenation of this kind of community grassroots demonstration, like maybe we saw with the War in the Woods?
Yeah. No, this phase is only going to last a couple of weeks while they're doing these core samples in the mountain. Then Kinder Morgan is going to retreat back to its own private property, its own gated little enclaves on either side of the mountain. And they're gonna look at what they found and decide if they're gonna go forward. And if they do go forward, well, you know, they're gonna have to have a whole wall of RCMP all the time around the refinery, around their properties. And if people can't protest there, and they will go somewhere else and protest, you know. So, no, I don't think that this is slowing down. For years, people have been coming out in the streets by the thousands. I don't think it's gonna slow down anytime soon.
I'd like to add to that that, you know, I think there's only so long and so many times that you can keep backing people into a corner, and not give anybody kind of any avenues to feel empowered or, you know, you have everybody in a community saying no to something and not being listened to. And I think that, you know, just over time, eventually, I mean, people are bound to react in any way that they can. And like I said, I mean, everything that's been happening up here so far has been as respectful and peaceful as possible. That those things are, if they do escalate, it will be because of the way that this process has undermined the communities that have been involved and have been saying no for years.
It's like in Ferguson, you know, in Missouri. If people can't get justice through the courts, they can't get justice through peaceful means. They will take matters into their own hands. You know, those who make, you know, peaceful resolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. So, you know, I really respect people for being so restrained. And I think that, as more and more avenues are closed off, as people see this machine coming at them, they are going to act in self-defense. And I think that things will continue to escalate.
Eric, any last thoughts before I let you go here? What do you expect for the day? Do you expect to continue going back every day, or what's your plan?
I don't know yet. I mean, I think like a lot of people are taking this day by day. As of now, I'm still standing up here and going to hang out in the rain with everyone. I would just like to say that if people are listening and they're on the island, I recommend getting out here in the next week. Just come and see it with your own eyes, because you know, it's something that you can either, you know, you can try and get the picture painted through stories like these, which is very important. But coming up here and just feeling the experience, really, I think, will affect the way that you see these things as they move forward as well. There's a community of people that do need support out here as well with, you know, food, dry clothes, and, you know, of course, moral support, and seeing other people from the community coming up here is incredibly, incredibly important.
And people today are expecting to get arrested, or are people just going up and marching and just, I don't know, I guess, dealing with the consequences as they happen?
There was just speeches from, I think, about 10 more people who were already decided that they were going to get across the line and, you know, face whatever the consequences are. So, yeah, I guess some sort of arrest or fine. I don't think the police have even really figured out what they're doing with everyone that crosses the line yet, but I expect that the numbers will go up, as they will every single day, which is great because it keeps it in the media and as a story of the number of people that goes up that get arrested, people to see how much more and more this is just a big farce. You know, this is just it's just a big show.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad it stayed in the media this long and that people have been thinking about it all week.
Mm-hmm. And it's very clear, you know, for folks arriving on the mountain, if they don't know what to expect, people don't get arrested just simply for observing or just simply for walking up the mountain. There's a very clearly defined line where if you cross that line, you'll be arrested. So it's very symbolic.
It's a physical line. It's not a metaphorical line. Like, you will know if you're going to
cross
it.
The police are standing there. So, yeah. You know, if you come through here, you'll be arrested. And then they do it. So.
Right. Okay. All right, Eric, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Thank you so much for the call.
All right.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
That was Eric Nordell, who was joining us from Burnaby Mountain in this discussion about what is happening up there today and has been happening up for the past few weeks. I have Zoe Blunt in studio with me as well. We're going to take a break and then we'll come back and talk some more about Burnaby Mountain. All right, we're continuing our conversation now about what's happening on Burnaby Mountain with regard to the proposed expansion of the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Joining me again in the studio is Zoe Blunt, who is a local activist with Victoria Forest Action Network and Wild Coast. And on the line, I have Stephen Collis, who is a professor at SFU and has also been named in the lawsuit that Kinder Morgan has brought against some of the protesters. Thank you for joining me, Stephen.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the second part of the Burnaby Mountain stuff, Zoe, you just had an update about there are some hearings happening in Victoria today for people that might be interested in this kind of environmental work.
This is the National Energy Board hearings about the Kinder Morgan pipeline. So they are, you know, giving an opportunity for public comment, and it's open to the public. This is the First Nations interveners that are being called to speak this week. And so they're testifying about their culture and their food systems and their societies and how those would be impacted by an oil spill or by pipelines and tankers going right by their coast. And so today, we have, this afternoon, it's, Adam Olson, and then the Tumanus First Nation. So it's Adam Olson from Sartlip and then Tumanus. There are other nations scheduled to testify this week as interveners, and that includes like the Lyaxin First Nation, the Alexander First Nation, the Horse Lake Band. And on Thursday is the Patchidat First Nation. They're from Port Renfrew. So I'll be there to support them. And also at 4:30 at the Victoria Conference Center. This is all happening at the Victoria Conference Center, 720 Douglas Street. So that's at 4:30 there's going to be a rally in support of all those who spoke today. And for the mountain, I just want to remember, I'm just remembering, they have, they're calling people to come to the mountain, come to Burnaby Mountain. And there's a website called cometothemountain.ca. So you can cometothemountain.ca and find out exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll get some information there about the next convoy from Vancouver Island to Burnaby Mountain on Friday.
All right. Thank you.
Fantastic.
For that.
Yeah.
Stephen, can you explain, you have been named in this lawsuit now brought by Kinder Morgan. Were you surprised to get or to be informed of this? Or maybe actually, can you start with your sort of your involvement? Were you up there protesting? How did you get involved in all this?
Yeah, I can fill you in all that. I was just going to add too, just quickly to what Zoe was saying. Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
That, you know, in Kinder Morgan's own proposal, you know, they envision a scenario, you know, they don't do much about what they would actually do if there's a spill, but they do mention scenarios, in which oil would spread right across, potentially right across the straits to Vancouver Island. So it's very, very important that Indigenous people there on the island have their say, because this can indeed directly affect them, despite the fact that a strait in between us, of course, is tanker traffic too. But yeah, you know, as an SFU professor, and I've been around the university for almost 20 years, I'm actually a UVic grad, long time ago.
Oh.
I was aware of this pipeline and concerned about it and involved in some climate activism. I've been to Fort McMurray in the tar sands. In September, I was actually in New York City for the big climate march there. So I'm paying attention and trying to write about it and understand both what climate change is and what the resistance to it looks like and what we can actually do. So when it came into my backyard, as it were, when I found out that Kinder Morgan's new plan was to potentially drill through or a hole through Burnaby Mountain, which is a park and a conservation area with a public university on top of it, I became quite alarmed, as many other people did. And we started going down to the areas Kinder Morgan had started to do some work, clearing trees on the side of the mountain against the City of Burnaby bylaws. And we tried to keep a sort of public presence down there, keep a watch out for them, and set up a phone tree so we could call out supporters if the workers came back. Meanwhile, there was all sorts of legal wrangling going on with the City of Burnaby and Kinder Morgan. And so we were just holding a presence up there. And so we're sort of building to a head, and we're becoming more organized and more of us involved and more people on the ground. And lo and behold, Kinder Morgan got their permission to go in, and we arrived here to meet them and try to prevent them from doing the work. The hope all along being that the court system would not fail us, and that Kinder Morgan would not be allowed to do this, because it's pretty ridiculous that they're trying to push this project through, especially in this day and age. So, yeah, I mean, I knew it could be a tense situation. I knew people can get arrested for doing civil disobedience, for blockading and things like this. I thought I knew what the potential dangers were and risks I was taking, but never did I envision that there would be a $5.6 million lawsuit. So, yeah, it was a surprise. And it arrived on my desk in my office here at SFU at 4:30 in the afternoon. I was about to teach an evening class, and about 4 or 5 inches thick of documents arrived on my desk, naming me in a suit, and along with 4 other people.
And they're naming you in the suit because they identified you as being on the mountain and
Well, they identified me, you know, it largely, contains quotations from me that I'd, said in the media. So with interviews, such as we're doing right now, part of my brain is always watching what I say now. And my own writing, in fact, to prove that not only was I, someone with, ill intents for the pipeline project, but that in fact I was, as I said, the mastermind of the resistance to the pipeline here in Burnaby. So in court, we had a 3-day hearing in court, and in court they read, like for instance, they read a text that said it was a poem by me in court as evidence, which is pretty incredible and bizarre that they could go to this extent to prove, that I was a bad person plotting against, their multi-billion dollar project.
They used a piece of poetry that you wrote. They used art that you had created against you in court. Wow.
Yeah, it's not too often that poetry gets to be read into evidence in court, so it's a good day for poetry anyhow.
That's chilling.
Huh. Yeah, that's very interesting. You said, like, quotes from interviews you've done in the media, so how do you feel when you feel like, do you feel like you're muzzled and that you can't express yourself? Like, what kind of, I guess I want to ask you to say.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do worry a bit, in fact, you know, I'm getting advice that I do need to be careful and certain things I shouldn't say, and that's actually, as a writer, you know, someone who's spending my life writing and publishing work and doing public speaking, it's a pretty alarming experience to suddenly realize, oh yeah, right, I don't actually have freedom of speech, because a very large corporation can sue me and use my words against me. And this is obviously very problematic if we do think we live in a democracy, if we still have that idea, and we think things like freedom of speech matter, then there's a real problem here. There's a real problem, because in a very material way, freedom of speech matters in the wrong way. It matters as something can be used to prevent you from speaking out and exercising what we think of as basic democratic rights.
Wow. Have you gone back up to the mountains since you were named in the suit?
Yes. Actually, we've had a prior trip planned to be away, and I was actually away much of the past week when a lot of the action actually started to happen and people were arrested and that sort of thing. I've been back for 2 days now, and I was up the mountain yesterday, and I was just up the mountain today. I'm staring at my boots while I talk to you, and they're covered in mud. Mm-hmm. I just walked up to the university from the mountain. You know, there's a sizable police presence at all times. There's a large area roped up with police tape. It is a no-go zone, and if you step across that line, you are immediately arrested for contempt of court. And every day at about 10:30, a large crowd gathers. Often there are a group that's come in from somewhere else. So I mentioned the bus. The bus is coming over, and that's been happening. Convoys and different affinity groups just deciding to come and be a presence on the mountain, or in fact deciding to cross the line and be arrested, to make a point about what's happening here, and to say we're willing to go that far to stop this project. So today at 10:30, a large group gathered, maybe 60, 70, 80 people, I believe, before they headed up the line, but there was quite a contingent today planning to get arrested. We've seen there's an 84-year-old grandmother today going to get arrested. There was an 11-year-old girl and her mother the other day.
Wow.
You know, people from all walks of life, as they say.
Are you more careful since you've been named in the lawsuit when you go up there, or are you just continuing
to?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, there's a number of us that are being targeted in numerous ways. you know, whether that be hate mail and attacks online, or you know, just feeling cautious around the media, or the civil suit, the attention the police actually give to certain individuals is a little different. So we're certainly cautious. And in fact, you know, there's an incredible community up here and people are incredibly protective. And they're trying to protect the people that have been targeted. And that's a pretty marvelous thing. It's horrible it has to happen that way, but there's a real sense of community here. And people know everyone has different roles at different moments and different capacities. And there are so many leaders. You know, there's not just a couple of leaders. When myself and a few others were named in the suit, there were a lot less of us involved in this. It was easier to single out a couple of individuals, right? Mm-hmm. But now that would be very difficult because there are literally dozens of people doing prominent frontline work, and it changes day to day who's really taking a lead and to having the media come to them. And it's pretty incredible to watch this community and this movement build.
You are a teacher at the university. Do you see a lot of other people from the university, either students or colleagues that are involved in this or interested, or do you have people that are really uncomfortable with what you're doing or opposing you?
Right. It's becoming more and more so that there's involvement from the university. And I am seeing faculty down there. I'm hearing faculty talk about forming an affinity group to possibly go across the line. I'm seeing more and more students, and there are librarians and other staff members of the university. So it was slow to get going, you know, and it's you know, the student body's probably changed over the decades quite a bit, and the world around them economically and culturally has changed around them too, and it's a little harder maybe to get people engaged with prominent issues like this, nonetheless. But it's building, and that's really encouraging. As far as negative, you know, pushback from the university, very, very little.
That must be heartening, I guess, especially when you are, you know, hit with a big lawsuit like that.
Right.
Are you?
So when myself and go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's fine.
Well, as I say, when myself and one other professor or two of the five people named mm-hmm. in the suit, and when that happened, a petition went around, and eventually about 500 faculty members, mm-hmm. Which is more than half of SFE's contingent of faculty, signed this letter of support. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty amazing. And the Faculty Association also passed a motion supporting us and opposing the Kinder Morgan pipeline. So the support actually has been really strong from the university.
Nice. Wow. As far as your own personal involvement in this goes, Zoe was talking about how there's a two-week window where the Kinder Morgan is going to be up there and attempting to mm-hmm. take these core samples. Do you intend to keep going up there every day, and do you have any plans beyond that two-week window?
Right. Yeah, well, for myself, I mean, I do try to be here every day, even if it's only for a couple of hours before I head up to a class. And it's the last class is here at SFU, actually, so it's a pretty busy time. And, you know, I've maybe put a few things off that I shouldn't have put off this semester with everything that's happened, so I'm scrambling to stay on top of work and be responsible to my students. But I'm trying to go there every day. But the thing is, as I was saying, there's so many people involved. There are literally, you get there in the morning, there's already dozens of people there. And by the middle of the day, there's, you know, 100, 200, 250 people there just being a presence on the mountain watching and sometimes crossing the line and getting arrested. Or so, you know, there's a particular kind of presence and pressure being brought right now. You know, the other things may happen. We'll have to wait and see. But I do feel like this is a real long struggle. They're still at the point where they're trying to propose a pipeline. The pipeline's not been approved yet. There's a rebuilding movement in the world right now to climate justice, to take this very seriously and try and understand what it means for the indigenous communities where extraction happens and how their lives are just being destroyed. What it means at points like here in Burnaby, which is unceded territory, and the local First Nations have not given permission, have not been consulted. There's all sorts of constitutional issues with that. On and on it goes, and the movement is only building. So I'm reasonably optimistic in the long term, but we'll see. It's going to take a lot of people doing a lot of different things to make it happen.
Maybe you can offer some clarification on this, because this is a confusing point for me, that this is the publicly owned or the city-owned public land, and the city of Burnaby is against the pipeline, but yet these core samples, it's okay for Kinder Morgan to come in and take the core samples. Do you know,
right.
How does that work legally?
Yeah. So Burnaby, the city of Burnaby is vocally and 100% opposed to this project. Residents pull out about 70 to 75% opposition to the project. The mayor feels he has the backing to say no way. But Kinder Morgan have gone to the National Energy Board of Canada, which has overruled the City of Burnaby's bylaws. And so they're getting permission from the National Energy Board of Canada to go around city bylaws. And the city bylaws actually have their the legal backing in the province. Notably, the province of BC is absolutely silent on this issue. They've not said anything about this pipeline. Mm-hmm. They're staying well out of it, and that's ridiculous that they are. Because it's actually provincial laws that are currently being also trampled by the National Energy Board of Canada. So what we're looking at is a situation in which the conservative federal government changed these regulations, made the National Energy Board of Canada much more powerful, and essentially it is simply a rubber stamp for industry, and that's what it's doing. So it's very problematic, and that's why the city of Burnaby and the Tsleil-Waututh First Nation here in Burnaby and the North Shore are taking this to the Supreme Court of Canada, and they have active cases open right now challenging this, the authority of the National Energy Board on constitutional grounds. Because frankly, if you ask me, it is entirely unconstitutional what's happening.
Have you, in your, while you've been up on the mountain, have you seen anybody from the provincial, I guess, any MLAs whatsoever, even showing up, or anybody that might be affiliated with even like the Green Party, federal or provincial?
Oh, there's lots of environmental NGOs show up. They send people. I mean, Sephora Berman's on the mountain this morning speaking to a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
So some prominent figures from environmental NGOs are starting to show up. You know, this has been a grassroots movement all along, and that's what we need. We need land defenders, and we take our lead from Indigenous people. You know, the NGOs bring a certain machinery to publicize and get numbers out, and, you know, they can be helpful, but that's just not how a lot of people on the ground are choosing to organize. As far as the politicians go, you know, no one from the city of Burnaby has been by, and that's sometimes a sore point because they've been so vocal in their opposition, but I understand they're trying to work through legal machinery right now, and that they feel they need to stay there with that. Provincially, I've had emails from several provincial MLAs encouraging me and saying that it's great what you're doing, let us know what we can do to support. They've not been showing up, but again, they may have their own reasons. The person that actually shows up is Kennedy Stewart, who's
right.
the MP for Burnaby.
Right.
MP for Burnaby, and he shows up. He's been here quite a few times. He's in Ottawa right now. He's actually brought us up in Ottawa in Parliament several times now, too.
Interesting.
So that's wonderful. He's been very supportive.
Yeah, so it is actually somebody from one of the two levels of government is being is being vocal. That's interesting that you've received letters of support, but we haven't actually heard anybody, you know, in the media being vocal about this. Why do you think there might be that restraint there?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I knew. You know, I've not chosen to spend much time thinking about it because I'm so busy thinking about other things, frankly. You know, I don't know. I mean, politicians always have their issues of what they feel they can and can't get away with speaking about and what's the right move for them to make. And it's unfortunate. It's part of the problem with our system is that it is so cautious and people's actual moral drive is often shut down because there's sort of, you know, those kind of decisions they make to position themselves. I don't know. But, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that I've received some emails. That's very nice. Some certain MPs are certainly, sorry, MLAs are thinking about it and concerned whether or not they feel there's anything they can do at this point. Of course, these are NDP MLAs and NBC, so, so what that's worth.
All right, I'm going to let you go here, but I just wanted to ask if you're writing about this online or if you're tweeting about this, if people can follow what's going on.
I read a blog. It's www.beatingthebounds.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Kindergarten's lawyers actually used as evidence against me, my online writing, and it's poetry and essays and things like that. I am on Twitter. I'm just at Stephen S. Collis.
All right.
So like, I'm not the most active tweeter in the world, but I am there.
All right. And are you going to head back up later today or tomorrow?
Perhaps I'll go back down later today, and I'll definitely be there again tomorrow too, yes.
All right. Thank you so much for being my guest on the show today.
Thank you. And good to hear you, Zoe. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Stephen. Stay strong.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Connecting activists on CFUV this morning. We're sort of going to wrap up the topic here, Zoe, but again, if people are interested in maybe donating or donating time or working with a convoy to go over there, where can they find information on that?
They can get in touch with me directly, zoe@wildcoast.ca, or you can go to a new website that's just been set up that's called come to the mountain.ca. There's also a great little little update page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Burnaby Mountain Updates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is really interesting, just to revisit real quickly what he was saying about the levels of government. Yeah, they're overriding the Local Government Act. They're overriding the Community Charter, which are provincial law. And you know, it makes me wonder, it's like, why don't we just eliminate all of the municipal governments? Why don't we just, you know, why don't we make them all just the board of directors of Kinder Morgan? Why don't we make them in charge of just everything, you know? Because that's the end result. That's what we've got. We can make them the judge and the jury as well. This is the kind of system that we're operating under right now. But it wouldn't make any difference because people are still going to resist. And like I said, they're doing these core samples, they're doing these surveys to find out what this mountain is made of, to see if they can drill through it. They're finding out it's made out of thousands of people who are saying no.
Today, if people are in Victoria and they want to join in solidarity, 4:30 at the Victoria Conference Center, is that right?
Yeah, at 720 Douglas Street, and we're in support of the First Nations people who are interveners in this process, which really just means that they can give testimony. Mm-hmm. So they're giving really fascinating oral testimony all this week at the Victoria Conference Center from 9 a.m. to 4:30 every day with a break for lunch. So they're talking about how they want to preserve their culture, their food systems, their relationship with the land and the water. I think people should go and hear it for themselves because it is not going to be archived on by the NEB. We should go and listen, and if people can even come and record, that would be great. The public is welcome at the Victoria Conference Center until 4:30, and then we'll be rallying outside.
All right. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and I look forward to checking in and seeing what's happening as this progresses.
Thanks, Liz.
All right, that was Zoe Blunt joining me in the studio in Victoria. We also heard from Eric Nordell, who was up on Burnaby Mountain, and Stephen Collis, who is a professor at SFU, who joined us from the university on the line. We're going to hear a little song, and when I come back, I'll take care of some more housekeeping items, and then we'll head into Democracy Now! Thanks for listening. All right, you've been tuned in to Full Circle on CFUV. Up next, we have Democracy Now! If you're interested in what's been happening in Ferguson, Amy Goodman will have a full update for you there. I leave you with Lee Fields and the Expressions singing in the woods.